Hello friends, we are studying the subject of consumer buyer behavior. We are on chapter 9. Chapter 9 is on influences shaping consumer buyer behavior. Very important chapter, various influences that drives the behavior or shapes the behavior of the consumers. So that is what is reflected in the objective that we have set for understand. So we will understand what is groups, the types of groups, family life cycle, social class, and in that categorization. And what is culture? So these are those areas which influence an individual. So furthermore, there are different categories of the social classes, etc. And various influences group here. And so how these overall things influence an individual. So what are the marketing implications that a marketeer should be careful about or do things, you know, that will help him to leverage this understanding. So with this learning objective, let's quickly get on to understanding what is, what are these influences, and one by one, we will go one by one kind of thing. So this chapter, this particular section gives you an overall perspective. So first is individual is staying in a family, you know, he is with people around him, feels about, notices the things that happens around, all around him. Now all around him, there is a exposure that he gets, and that shapes his frame of mind. You do what people around you do generally. So that's what is the aspect that we are trying to understand. So the family is the first thing that, you know, influences. Then comes the social class. Social class means whether I belong to, say, one aspect is looking at the religion way, Hindu, Muslim, Sikh, Isai, whatever, or like middle income, low income, high income, etc. So those kind of aspects also play. Culture plays a role. What is my cultural exposure? Types of membership in the groups that I have, etc. So these are those aspects that one need to understand. Group. So overall, this class or this thing is a group that is been known as. So we need to first understand what is this group is all about. So group is nothing but more than two people coming together to accomplish something. Accomplish something which is for an individual in that group or collectively. So say shopping wives groups, or you know, walkers group, etc. So these are those group. Each group has a unique ideology. So the groups are formed with certain unique ideology, certain purpose, certain things to do together. That's why the groups are formed. There are religious groups, there are professional groups, there are caste specific groups, etc. So that is a collective, this thing, the purpose behind, you come to know. In consumers' behavior, we deal with the small groups. So one aspect, while we study this, idea is to understand the smaller groups. So that's what we will try to understand, this thing. For a larger group, there are different behavioral connotations that we have kind of you know, studied earlier, bit, and then something we will study as we move forward. So various, in various ways the groups are formed, that needs to be understood. This definitions are, or rather the classifications are in front of you. I will briefly explain you. Primary versus secondary. Primary group is a something which, you know, is very close to me. I am actively involved. Secondary group is something which is out of certain compulsions or out of certain other needs that I have been into it. So my if I look at in my way, and my school group or my you know, the professional groups, etc., are my primary group. Maybe my caste group is my secondary group. Formal versus informal. Something which is formally constructed, structured. In organization, there are many times some groups are formed and they are assigned a member to it, and so which is a, say, formal. I may become a party to, say, research society, or I may subscribe to the publications, you know, delegation group, or etc. So that's a formal group I have participated. Informal group is like I am just getting into it, and you know, in and out, etc. I do when I want to connect, I don't do when I don't want to connect, etc. Membership is like a paid group, you know, you become a member to that group. So that's this thing. And symbolic is like it is non-paid, and I am associated to it. I am trying to derive certain symbolic aspects. So like I being a marketeer, like I am into many marketing groups symbolically. Okay, I am only in one marketing group where I do see the benefits. So I am actively as a paid member there. Yani. So that's what one need to understand. Relevance of group. Yani. So consumer is habituated to being in the group and he's connected to all this kind of a categorization of a group. There is some group of this nature or the other in our life. Group, when they meet, they discuss, they show things, etc., it forms the impact on the mindset of the other members. Now, bigger groups or that the smaller group, as I told you, that we will try to structure in our understanding. The family is a one, institution which is there for the person of the family. Family really gives the support right from the well-being, the upbringing to economic support, offers you certain lifestyle, gives you certain informal liberties. However, you are bound by certain formal rules of the family, this thing, etc. So, here what happens, it itself is a reason for marketer to look at. Second comes is the structure and function. So what is the structure? We have understood various structure of it and various functions. So each group is formed with a certain function or a purpose in mind. So the way they operate, there are certain SOPs to be followed, they are conditioned to be a member, or they meet regularly, they do not meet regularly. Even during COVID, there are certain groups who were met regularly through a VC, etc. So this functioning does influence. So there are certain functioning, say like very formal group, then there will be a dress code which will be defined, etc. So now you have to have that dress code whenever you participate, etc. So that itself communicates your lifestyle, communicates your need, etc., communicates it in a very different way. So structure and function is also a very influencing factor. Conformity to the groups, whether you conform to the groups or not, that's a very important aspect. Group generally expects certain conformity. If you do not conform to it, they may put you out. They may straight away, remove you from that group, etc. So that's a conformity is also one thing. Reference groups. So these are those references. We try to get references out of it. We refer to them when we need it. We don't refer to them when we don't need it. So there are three dimensions to this reference group that one need to understand. So point of comparison is one dimension. Second is the aspiration is the second. And then imitation is the third. So imitation has further two classification, normative and comparative. So normative is essentially to do with the individuality, individual imitations, while the comparative is like you compare with the others and then you imitate for yourself, etc. So point of comparison, point of aspiration is, aspiration of course is self-explanatory. The group is collectively, say like the startup group or those groups are aspiring you to go forward in life, etc. Comparison groups are say groups of the traders, groups of the business people, etc., groups of the textile, say mill owners, etc. So they are like uniform this thing, they bring certain uniformity or facilitates a comparison, so to say. So these are the understanding of the reference group. I should have say come here before. It's a concept, which goes into reference group does impact an individual. Starts with the family, friends, social, this thing, selected, other groups that you part of it. So this way the overall your circle of reference gets formed. This is what is one need to understand. There's a positive and negative reference group. A positive reference group is inspiring. It inspires member to behave in a manner, that aligns with the values that it has set. So it drives a positive influence among the member. So say like for example BNI, if I take now, it's a membership group and it drives a one value that business among the members, and so it tries to and then create references, etc. So they have their unique way of doing it. Negative reference group is one which inspires individual to behave opposite to the set norms. They are rebellious people or they are non-conformity kind of a people. They come together and form a group. That's also a group. Okay. Here one need to understand this. So I will be explaining you this briefly. But positive, negative, this thing has been linked to the membership or non-membership. We have understood what is membership, non-membership. And accordingly, there is a structure which is emerging. Positive membership is a contractual group. Positive non-membership is an aspirational group. They are positive. negative membership group is disclaiming group. We will understand that negative non-membership group is an avoidance group. So we will understand them one by one. Contractual group is a positive group, a positive reference group in which face-to-face contact does happen, and ideology, we believe in ideology that has been heart of that group. And so it's an ideology driven face-to-face positive side. Another aspirational group is a positive this thing reference group, which does not provide face-to-face contact, but it inspires to adopt. Here you are inspired to be into it. And so if I belong to, say, I took a participation into a CEO club, you know, there's a, say, like on a LinkedIn. Now, that's a reference group for me. And it's a non-membership, okay? And it's a reference group for me. And when I read, when I hear, there is saying, it's a aspiring me, TED group, TED, TED talk group, etc. If you see, they are aspirational to you. Disclaimant group is a negative, this thing, group, membership oriented, where there is a face-to-face contact, but ideology is disapproved. Though you are a part of it, you disapprove the ideology. Okay, so that's a negative aspect to it. An avoidance group, it's a negative reference group where we neither have face-to-face contact nor we endorse their ideology. So we are like an avoiding, and we do not belong to that group, so to say, in other words. Okay, so these are the four classifications of the reference group vis-a-vis the membership. So that's what membership, as well as the positive and negative classification of the group. So that is what we understood. Now we understand the factors affecting the reference group, and so how the reference group group gets influenced. So that's what we are trying to understand. First is an information and experience, and then conspicuousness of the product. So let's get this. Information is, of course, makes all the difference. The experience of that group and the group member makes all the difference. Credibility and power among the people, you know, that builds the influence among the other member, so to say. Conspicuousness of the product, which is a reference group, and the consumer conformity. So first aspect in that is a conformity with the consumer. Marketers have evaluated that reference group must do and be capable to bring conformity. So reference to marketing is that they see that overall the people belong to a reference group and they conform to the behavior of it. So now that conformity is an opportunity for the marketing. Okay. So reference group and the consumer conformity inform or make the individual aware of a specific product in the brand. So marketer can take the advantage by creating a wide information among the reference group. Provide the individual with the opportunity to compare his or her own thinking with that of the reference group. So one can see where he or she stands vis-a-vis what is the opinion and the ideology of the group member, etc. Their attitudes and all. So I will then probably decide to align myself, or I may continue to have my independent behavior. It influences the individual to adopt the attitude and behavior that are consistent with the norm of the group. But what happens psychologically when you hear everyone talking about certain things, certain risks, certain avoidance that one should adhere to, you also somehow become a conformist to that. And so it legitimizes the individual's decision to use the same product as the group uses it. And you will say, but everyone was using it. You know, it's a collective, this thing, I felt very conformed to this, what we discussed and all. And therefore, we got on to try. If at all things go wrong, then also this is the argument. If things go right, then also you say, it's a collective thing that brought this decision. So that's how the marketeers are trying to see that how reference group can be utilized by them. Okay, so this is specific, this section, we specifically understand that group situation or an individual within the group whom a segment or audience can identify with are used to promote goods by or the services subtly by introducing the prospective customers to identify the pictured users of the product. So marketeers, in a very simple term, I'll try to explain. Marketeers have determined that this reference group have a certain characteristic, certain profile. Now they communicate to the people, to the target group in such a way that the guy is able to relate it to this reference group that the marketeer is talking about. And therefore, he will accept the message. you can induce the prospects with admiration. You can induce, means the prospects can be influenced by admiration. Admiration for what? Towards the role model, towards the person used in it, towards who's recommending it, etc. Okay, so celebrity way of life, role model, sportsman, or empathy with the person or the situation that you are talking about, or a recognition. The real person or the stereotypical situations that has been portrayed that can influence. So we are going to study those aspects a little later. There it comes. So there are four major types of reference group appeals that a marketer uses: celebrity, expert, common man, and the executive. So we will study one by one. Celebrity is like again further classified. So who can be classified as celebrity? It could be movie star, models, or a political leader. So they are like generally people refer to. They provide a particular power. They attract particular strata of the society, and they have a loyal followers already. So that makes the recognition very true. It will create a very acceptable value among its followers, etc. The brand personality also should get evoked. Evoked means should relate with the use of the celebrity. So celebrity endorsement or celebrity, this thing connects should be there also with the brand. So these are the ways that celebrity, this thing can be done. Any of these, living star, movie star, model, political leader, but how it has been. So first approach is a testimonial. So Lux is a great example to give you, because since the time immortal, I believe 1938 the Lux was launched, and since then it is a soap for the heroine. So various heroines have come and given a testimony towards this product. So that's one approach. Second is an endorsement. A powerful celebrity who may not know much about the product or the construction, etc., but he still comes and gives you that endorsement. So Amitabh Bachchan, superstar, talking about Binani cement, it emphatically tells you that is the best in class. So you tend to believe it. Spokesperson, represented as a spokesperson, again here you see the Axis Bank have used Deepika Padukone. After their initial launch and couple of years later, they brought her in as a spokesperson, and the spokesperson talking about various products of the Axis Bank. So that's how they created that use of celebrity. Next is a expert. So that's another one. So I go back to this, so that you are connected. We are talking this. So celebrity is complete and the different aspect of it. Now we come to expert. So expert can be an actor or a real expert. So you see many advertisements, doctor recommends. There could be a real doctor or there could be an actor. So sometimes the celebrity is brought in as an expert. He does not either testify or endorse it. Amir Khan and Aishwarya have acted in Pepsi commercial. So they are there, not that they are there because they know more about soft drinks, etc. Shahrukh Khan is in the Centro commercials, etc. A brand and the product must balance this. So only act as a character. So what is when the expert this thing and the actor is used, they act as a character that they are supposed to portray. However, they are real experts also. So Sensodyne, where the doctor is introduced. So Sensodyne is that rapid relief or that toothache while you eat or drink something hot or cold kind of thing, against which this product has come in, and they always talk about experts recommends kind of thing. So these experts are the dentists from different part of the country or part of the world, etc. That's how they've done. It is now, I have recently seen in the July 2021, they're now emotional aid. He's the one who can eat and drink, this. They are now gone into that emotional side where the expert recommendation is not there. It is now towards the consumer centricity. What difference does it bring to the life of a consumer? But anyhow, we are studying currently the expert, this thing. The third is a common man. A common man is a aam aadmi among you. He is a one from you. Ordinary male, female, whom you can see yourself with, etc. And then they endorse the product. So often, and the Dove soap, moisturizer effect, the glowing skin effect, etc. And that those user as a housewife has a user been shown. So that's a common man appeal that they have tried to make. Common man appeal can even have a real life situation, okay, where the slice of life can be used, and common people, you see Lalitaji campaign of Surf or the Reen, etc., TKR, or they show that suddenly the white, you know, clothes, mere kapde itne kyun safed nahi hote, etc., and then the other women recommend, I use this, you know, why don't you? So that's how they get into common men, this thing. The last is the executive. So you have a executive to endorse upon. You have an executive who can create his own power. The best is the MDH Masala guy, old person, who I recently unfortunately expired. But he was driving all the message. He was assuring people about quality. He was assuring about how that masala makes change in your life. You know, you can enjoy life with family, different varieties you can make, etc. Country Club, I think that Dr. Raju, if I'm not, so he like, you know, his thumbs up impression when the Country Club, every promotion he used to be there, you know, kind of. So he was giving a stamp of authority and the assurance about. So that's what the executive role in the kind of a reference group. There are other reference groups that can be formed, reputed store or cartoon characters, you know, related. Archie's has a very strong reference group. Consumer Reports, all this serve as a frame of reference. Yani. So we belong to people who always have a frame of reference, and those who participate in it becomes a reference group to you. So that's a reference point that we understood. We are continuing to understand the marketing applications of this reference group. So merits of this reference group appeal could be increased brand awareness. One is through the buzz or through viral, this thing also will happen. Each one will tell the others or where they are taken, so they see that, etc. So that's how the brand awareness will increase. Reduce perceived risk. It comes from the influence of the others, where you straight away minimize your perceived risk. You see that one of the behavioral this thing in the DEGMARC is reduction of a perceived risk. The marketer should proactively reduce the perceived risk, because this is what perceived by the consumer when any product is offered to them. When the individual sees his reference group using it, the perceived risk will get minimized. Naturally, you do not have to do much about it. So now we come to understand the family. We have completed the understanding about the group and the reference group as a concept. This have an influence on the consumer buyer behavior. Now we enter the second larger set or the other group of people who will have an influence on you is a family. So family offers, as I told you, this advantage. It gives you economic well-being, gives you emotional support, leverages and liberties, etc. Provides you certain lifestyle. It allows you socialization within your caste and, you know, other team people, etc. So overall socialization takes place, but it is aligned to the exposure that a family brings for you. So people, a family from a specific caste will provide you that caste-based exposure. So that's where your more socialization is happening, and that's where you get influenced. So that's what one need to understand. Consumer socialization is a result of, as a result of the family. So here children gets equipped with the skills and knowledge when they are together, they see father, mother doing things, peer doing things, etc. Certain things are encouraged to them, certain things are told them is not right as per the whatever rule of law or the rule of the culture, etc. Then you grow up as a become adult, teenager or adolescent stage, etc., where your friends who are from the different socialization part of the, you know, society, they come close to you. So you see their behavior, etc. Each one accepts some good about, some, you know, negativity about. So that's how the socialization of the customer proliferates. So marketers have frequently seen this as an opportunity where they feel that attitude and behavior stands a chance to be influenced. So that's why they started doing this as a promotional this thing. So there's a duality in role is one concept. One who uses it may not buy it. So that's also another thing. Personal care products, essentially the teenage daughter will not go and buy. It's the mother who goes and buys it. So that's also another aspect that needs to be broadly understood. This is also there in the overall marketing, this thing where you have to classify your, you know, customer into user, buyer, etc., influencer and all. So that's taken care of that way. But that's what is the family stands for, and overall, as you have to understand. So as you can see here, there are different classification of the family's consumption role. So one is an influencer, and second is the so it goes like this: influencer, gatekeeper, decider, buyer, preparers, users, maintainers, and disposers. So if family is seen as a more larger slice of categorization. Influencer is the one whose opinion matters. He is the one who plays a role to influence. Gatekeeper ensures what has to come in is coming in, what doesn't have to come in doesn't come in. Decider is a decision maker, may or may not be with the financial power, but uski chalti hai, as they say. Okay. Buyer is the actual one who goes and buys it for you from the market. So he may be a consumer user or may not be a one user. Preparer is the one who prepares things, maintains day-to-day balance of life, etc. So preparing the food, mother plays a role. Preparing for the schools, this thing, they may show other father playing that role, etc. User is the actual user who's going to use that product. Maintainer is all about who's going to keep overall maintained in the family. And disposer is the one who decides to discard, disapprove of it, or terminate the use and move in the new product or a new feature rich product in the house. So this is what is the constituents of family members and their different roles. So we have studied this, so I will probably get going, and we have understood this little bit while I spoke here. So what is the connect to that, Yanem? So connect to that is now the dynamics play a role. So the dynamics of what is between spouses and resolving the conflict, if there is a conflict. So there are six influencing strategies. One is expert. One of the spouse assumes a role of experts. He or she believes that the other is expert in that, so let it be on him. Legitimacy, the decision is legitimized on the basis of position in the family. People respect you as an elder, people respect you either as a role that you play, etc. So that carries a weight. So you carry a legitimate power to influence. Bargaining. Influence is exerted by a spouse at present, which will be exchanged for some other favor in the future. So some kind of a bargain takes place. So there's also a tactics or a strategy, so to say. Rewarding. You reward for supporting your decisions, etc. So that's a reward way of influencing. Emotional. You emotionally put your argument in such a way that others get carried away and they have no option but to accept what you are saying. And in impression, persuasive approach to influence behavior of the spouse. So where you probably play a role to over a period influence the decision towards specific. So that's a functionality within the family, how you, spouse can influence each other. So we studied the six different strategies. Now we come to children. Children also play a very influencing role at times. Many times children put forward their demand. They not only put forward their demand, they specifically tell you, okay, this is what I want. Okay. They even start participating in your purchase decisions. So because they are exposed to so many things, radio, watch TV, etc. So you see that there is a sports, there is a kids wear or kids item which is from the Mahindra and Mahindra. They target kids, they show this. So these are the kids who probably are up and telling your parents, they're telling the parents that I need this. So they acquire advertising symbols early in life, so they start seeing as a advertisement is a product symbol or a usage symbol. They also want to get using it. So they realign their choices based on what they see. And you see that growing use of children model, child as a model is also being there. Right, wrong, we are not getting into it. But a family and the kids' influence is very paramount in many areas. And one need to be really aware about that dynamics. Okay, the market here especially. Third is the family life cycle. Within family, the concept of a family life cycle, FLC as we refer, FLC refers to the various stages in life that individual is in. And that stages in life and the need thereof is a subject matter of a marketeer's target. So I start as a individual dependent, then I start an earning member, non-dependent, then I become married. So married with one income, my spouse is not income, you know, or I am married to a lady who's also earning, so double income, no kids, then comes the kids into picture, then kids grow up, kids married off, they are separating from you, both you live without the kids, the empty nest as they say, and then the widower, and you know, those kind of a classifications. There are many classifications which various product categories, financial, insurance, etc., try to relate you with, you know, so retirement plans or, you know, the good lifestyle plan. So there are builders who offer you a good post-retirement housing facility, which is equipped to support this kind of a family. So those kind of things are also happening. A revised FLC concept, I'm not getting said too much into it. This family life cycle can be classified or has been classified in many ways. This is another way. Young, married with kids, double income, single parent, divorcee, and older people, single or remarried, and various. So each of this have a person in picture, his needs in picture, and therefore he or she becomes a target group. That's where the group influence comes. And that group influence, if marketing understands, can put forward their things very well. These are the strategic aspects, which is not that, you know, it's given in the book. You may read this, how this is leveraged by the marketeers. Thank you.